Amen. Turning with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and reading from verse 1 through 3. And when you have it, would you say amen? Whoa. Some of you are having a hard time finding 2 Thessalonians. It's because you don't read your Bibles. Come on, somebody. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1. When you have it, say amen. Ah, we'll wait. All right, we'll wait. Amen. How many brought your Bible? Let me see if you brought your Bible. Let's see, you get an extra credit today for Bible. Brought your Bible. All right. Extra. You get Chick-fil-A today. Amen. There you go. Praise God. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may be free and be glorified, even as it is with you. Notice this. And that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For all men have not faith. I know that's surprising to some people. You think everybody's a believer or believes in God. But notice this. For all men have not faith. Not all men have faith. We want to be delivered from unreasonable. Notice it in verse 2. Unreasonable and wicked men. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. The New Living Translation says in 2 Thessalonians 3:3, but the Lord is faithful, he will strengthen you. How many want the strength of the Lord this morning? And guard you from the evil one. And I want to talk to you this morning on this thought. The Lord is faithful. Sister Martinez, the Lord is faithful. As always has been. ¿Cuántos dice amén? He's faithful. The Lord is faithful. If you believe that this morning, would you give the Lord a praise and a shout? Hallelujah! Because we serve a faithful God. Jesus is faithful. Why don't you high-five your neighbor and tell him the Lord is faithful. Come on, high-five your other neighbor. Tell him he's faithful. He's faithful. He's faithful. Come on. He's faithful. He's faithful. God is faithful this morning. He's always working. Even when we don't see it, he's working. Because he's faithful. He's faithful. All the faithful people of God, shout amen. God bless you as you're seated in the presence of the Lord. The Apostle Paul is the author of the first and second book of Thessalonians. This is a follow-up letter to 1 Thessalonians. The original audience was the church or the Christians that were residing in a place called Thessalonica. And this is a real city in Greece. In fact, it is there today. I believe it's called Thessalonica, but it's the same place. And the Apostle Paul and Silas, they established this church in the book of Acts, specifically in Acts chapter 17. The word of the Lord tells us that when they came, they passed through, they came to Thessalonica, and there was a synagogue of the Jews. And notice this. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the scriptures. And there was a church that was established. And this young church, and with the youthfulness of a church, sometimes there's growing pains. There's growing pains when you're growing at any level. When you're growing as a kid, you're growing your business, you're growing your ministry, you're growing a church, you're even growing as a person. There's growing pains because sometimes you grow bigger and your wardrobe can't keep up, and because you're getting taller. And so you had high waters before high waters were in style, because you're growing, and it's just growing, because it hurts to go buy pants and clothes, and it's a little easier to buy tacos, but it's something different when you got to buy clothes. And so there's growing pains, and we have experienced growing pains as a society. We have seen where there's some some growth, and there's some strategies that have taken place. We've experienced growing pains as a church. Some folks were just used to certain things, and we've over the last 2 years, we've seen some significant growth in the church, and we've seen a lot some challenges that have taken place with that. And because we are a people, are human, and we do not like change. I've had the same hairstyle for a long time. I like it. Number 2 on the sides and the back, 3 on top every other week, and in between I get a neck trim. It's the way it is. Some of you are laughing, but you use the same toothpaste you've been using since you were a kid. Same bar of soap. Somebody's like, oh man, this soap that lasts that long? Same brand of shampoo. The only reason why some of you don't go to certain places anymore is because they closed down. But you had your favorite seat. We need to ask you, oh, it's good to see you, sir. You want your usual? But we don't like change. Change just requires growth. It stretches us. We're seeing right now, we're seeing all the trees are pruned, leaves are falling off, and the cut back on the branches, etc. They look bare, but you wait. Springtime is coming. And so we with change comes adaptation. Not everyone is able to adapt. We generally sit in the same area or even the same row on Sundays. I could almost tell you what time you'll be at church. About 11:10, certain families will come in. I could tell you right about where we are as a church. When folks will be gone on vacations, etc., just because we've been around. We've got change. We can almost tell the seasons that are changed because of things that are around us. And so change is difficult. Change is challenging. In fact, how many of you need your cup of coffee in the morning before you even open your eyes? It's a necessity. You've got to have it. It's because it's without it, you're walking around aimlessly. But not too long ago, I was at a meeting. Spent 2.5 days in meetings, and a friend of mine, pastor, she's a presbyter in another area. We agreed to meet up for coffee at a certain place, as we have done normally last couple years. We've met up for coffee at a certain place at our meetings. We drove together and went to the coffee shop, Pete's Coffee, because there's not one close by where he lives and where I live, and we just happen to like that coffee. And so we're going to go treat ourselves to Pete's Coffee, pay $4 for a cup of coffee, and because it's Pete's. And so if I ever open a coffee shop, I'm going to call it Hebrews. And and so we went to, or Jehovah's Java. They got a Jehovah's Java upstairs in RT Kids, but we went, and it was just a weekday in the morning. I believe it was a Monday morning we went, and we got there, and we pulled up, and we get out of the car, we walk up, and they were closed. It's like, how can a coffee shop in a big city, Sacramento area, be closed? So we're like, well, that's okay. We'll go to the Starbucks. Well, I guess we're used to it, so we'll go to the Starbucks down the road. On the other side of the road, we get in the car, we drive over to Starbucks, we get out, we're all happy, we're going to get some coffee, and we walk up to the door, and Brother Sam, they were closed. And we looked at the sign, and it said they're only open from 10 to 2, and we're like, well, it's like 8 o'clock in the morning. And wow, how could Starbucks, and then it surprised me, Sister Amanda, they weren't even open on Saturday and Sunday. And I'm thinking about change. I'm thinking about places that should be open that aren't open, that were closed. And people need coffee to survive, and all the survivors say amen. And so we have these changes that happen, and things that we've got to adapt with. And some are things that really don't mean much in the broad spectrum of life. But we learn to adapt. We learn to grow through the challenges that we face. We're not in that same trip. We're at the hotel we're staying at. In the same parking lot was a name brand restaurant. I won't tell you the brand of restaurant because we're live streaming, but it was a name brand restaurant, a big restaurant. And we walked in, we have a short amount of time to eat because we have get back to appointments and interviews. And we walk in and they have one waitress, one cook, and the manager. And we had reservations and we walk in, there's a dozen of us that walk in to sit together, and we sit down and we're waiting and we're waiting and we're waiting. How many of you like to wait? Anybody like to wait, right? And we're waiting, and we legitimately had, we were going to work till 9 o'clock that night. We actually worked a little bit till like 10 o'clock that night, and we had a very tight schedule. And so one of the other pastors, presbyteries, actually he would be our secretary, we looked at each other. I said, well, why don't you find out what they want to drink, and I'll write it down. And I get a napkin, I pull out my pen, and two Cokes, Pellegrino here, and an iced tea here, and I, on a napkin, I handed it over to the manager. This is our table. This is where we'd like to have to drink. We're going to help you guys out. And we look at situations, and we could wait, and we're waiting, but sometimes the Lord is looking at us and saying, you need to take some action while you're waiting and do something while you're waiting. And would you believe that the drinks came? But we didn't wait to be served in the time frame that we had to wait for. We took some action. And it's time for some of us to quit waiting for certain things to be over and to be completed and to go back to the way we envision it to be. But it's time for us to say, you know what? There's been a lot of change in the world. There's been a lot of change in society. But one thing that hasn't changed is, as for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. And why are we going to serve the Lord? Because He's faithful. He's constant. He's stable. There's a lot of instability going on in the world. But one thing that is not unstable is our God loves. He forgives, He heals, He saves, He delivers, He's faithful. Even when we're not faithful, the Lord is faithful. One of the underlying themes in the book of Acts and in the scriptures that we see is change that takes place. And many times the change that takes place is because of persecution, because of the trying times or places that the people of God would find themselves in. The church and the people of God have always faced challenges, even persecutions. Can I lay something down here for you to catch real quick? There will always be uncertainties in life. Always. But you can guarantee this. I would say take it to the bank, but the bank may be closed. But you can guarantee this. You remember there was a man that sold suits, and he says, "Hey, I guarantee you're gonna like the way you look. I guarantee it." Well, that may be argumentative, but this thing for sure. Somebody say for sure.
For sure.
The Lord is faithful.
Amen.
Faithful. No matter what's going on in our life, the Lord is faithful. Trials, tribulations, good days, great days, awesome days, the Lord is faithful. Somebody give God a praise for being faithful. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12, "Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, insomuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering." Notice this. "That when His glory shall be revealed, you may be glad with exceeding joy." Why can we be glad when we go through what the Apostle Peter would write, fiery trials? We can be glad because the Lord is faithful. And if the Lord is faithful in a fiery trial, He'll be faithful in the blessing. He'll be faithful in the great day, the good day, the awesome day. That's why the songwriter says, "My God's been good to me. so very good to me. I can't complain. Complaining won't do me anything but good. But when I begin to think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, I don't just get excited. I begin to recall all the faithfulness of the Lord. Beneath the surface of everyday life is a fierce spiritual warfare that is being waged. Yeah. And our main defense is prayer and the word. And I will add unity. We got to have unity of prayer and the word and unity with one another. That's where the scripture tells us in Psalm 133, how good and how pleasant it is for men to dwell together in unity. You read a little bit further down and it says, there the Lord commanded a blessing. When you get people that are of the Lord in one accord in prayer and the word and unity, God will bless it. Whether it's two or three, the Lord will bless it. Because if there be two or three gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of him. The Lord is faithful. We cannot become dependent on ourselves. We wear out. Your teeth wear out. Your hip wears out. Your eyes wear out. Your hair wears out. And some of you are wore out right now. You're Pastor, I'm wore out. You're making me feel worse. Can I tell you, the Lord is faithful. Even when you're wore out, the Lord is faithful. We have limitations. We get frustrated. We call out. We forget. All the forgetful people say amen. Amen. Believe it or not, some people hold grudges. I know, nobody here. I know. But the Lord is faithful. 2 Thessalonians 3:3 says, the Lord is faithful. But they're holding a grudge, Pastor. But the Lord is faithful. But we were off tune. But the Lord is faithful. It didn't say sing on tune. It says make a joyful noise unto the Lord. There are going to be times it sounds like a noise, but if it's unto God, who are we doing it for anyways? We can rely and depend on the Lord. He's mobile. He's not like some people. When you call or text them, you even wonder if you have the right number. Right? Dude, I wonder if they received my phone call or my text. But the Lord is faithful. He's always on call. He works the midnight shift. He works the morning shift. The day shift. So can I help somebody here this morning? Quit staying up all night stressing and worrying about something you can't control or do nothing about. The lady of God said it this morning. If the devil's yapping, he's lying. So if he's saying, you're ugly, you might as well say, well, I know I look good because the devil said I'm ugly. So I look real good. It's all good in the hood, baby. I look fine. The Lord is faithful. You are the original you, baby. The Lord is faithful. So get some rest at night. Psalm 4:8 says, I will lay down in peace and sleep. Some of you need a good nap.
Amen.
Need to sleep.
Speak, Lord.
Don't be sleeping in church. Sometimes we reach out to lots of other people and share with them things that we should be sharing with the Lord. And we're frustrating ourselves why we aren't coming up with solutions to our circumstances. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call unto me. I'll answer you. We have a direct line to him. It's called prayer. And you know that line never gets disconnected by him. Sometimes it gets disconnected by us. The Lord's not going to leave you nor forsake you. That's why he tells us in Isaiah 41 and 10, he says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed. I'm the God of your pastor only." Somebody say that again. My God, he is your God. He will strengthen you. He's going to help you. He's going to uphold you by the hand of his righteousness. The Lord is faithful. He's not asleep. He's not lazy. He's got all the resources in the entire world. And if you, he could create resources. Come on, somebody. He formed man from the dust of the earth. He knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. And when he breathes life in the man. And man became a living soul. And he's been doing it over and over and over again for all this time. The Lord is faithful. Regardless of what we're facing, regardless of what the day brings, the trial, the frustration. After all, this is the day that the Lord has made. And I'm going to be a whiner, complainer, a hater, a critic. That's what I'm going to be. I'm going to be just a pity party. That's what, no. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Come on, somebody. Choose to rejoice because the Lord is faithful. So sometimes you may feel that, man, I can't take anymore. But the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10 and 13, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. But with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. You know one of the awesome things about being rooted and planted in the church? Furthermore, in having a relationship with the Lord, he's going to take care of you. Yes. 1 Corinthians 1 and 9 tells us, God is faithful. By whom you were called unto the fellowship. How many are thankful to be part of the church? How many love Jesus? He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. How many know that God cannot be what he is not? Right? He doesn't lie. He's a healer. He's a forgiver. He's a lover. For God so loved the world, right? He's a way maker, a provider. He's your heavenly father. But he's faithful. How many want to be like Jesus? Anybody want to be like Jesus? Then you got to be faithful. Because the Bible says God is faithful. We can't say we love him and not be faithful. We can't say we want to be like Jesus and not be faithful. But whom he called unto the fellowship, we've got to be faithful. We can't say I go to church and then not be the church on Monday. But no, we got to say I went to the church. I got refilled. I got some clarity. I rejoice. And all week long, I'm going to be the church at school and at work and at home and in the neighborhood, in the ghetto, whatever I got to be. I'm going to be the church, and the Lord is faithful, so I got to be faithful. He's your lifeline. He ought to be your rock. He ought to be your help. The words of the psalmist ring so true today. Psalm 121 and 2, it says, my help cometh from the Lord. Verse 5 says, the Lord is my keeper. Verse 7 says, he shall preserve thee. Verse 8 says, the Lord will preserve thy going out and thy coming in, even forevermore. Come on, somebody. The Lord is faithful. Even when you're not faithful. Even when I'm not faithful. Even when I don't believe it. Bible says, he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. That's faithfulness. The diligence. The diligent seeker. We've got to understand that fear is not of God. Fear is not a spiritual gift. Fear is not something to be proud of or to promote or to propagate. But we've got to have faith in a God that is faithful. For we walk by faith, not by sight. The just shall live by faith. You know how some of us, our faith level is low because we've been hearing a lot of things that have nothing to do with faith or God or common sense. We've been listening to what the unreasonableness, right? The scripture says in 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 2, if we could put that up, this is powerful. We've got and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. Hey, some of us have made comments like, this doesn't even make sense. This is unreasonable. Well, the Bible's been telling us that from day one, that we would be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. Can I tell you, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Come on. What are you hearing? What are you feeding into your mind and your heart? I hope you're overwhelming yourself. I'll try to get you to OD on Jesus. Try that. When have we ever had a funeral and said, oh, they OD'd on prayer. They OD'd on reading their Bible. No, they OD'd on Jesus, and he was not, for the Lord took him. I wonder this morning, how many of you want to be faithful like the Lord is faithful? Even if we believe not, the Bible says, he abideth faithful. Maybe you've come this morning and you've been surrounded by doubt, distraction, frustration, worry, stressed out. Is it perhaps because you've allowed your eyes and your minds and your hearts just shift the focus on the problem instead of the problem solver?
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Looking at the trial as if you did something wrong instead of realizing that the trial is meant to stretch you to grow. You're looking at people as the enemy instead of people as souls.
Right.
You're not my enemy. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. This isn't my church. Yes, I'm the pastor, but this is not my church. It may be your home that you pay the mortgage on, but it is the stewardship of a home that God has entrusted. That's why when the angel of the Lord came to Joshua, and Joshua asked him, who are you for? He said, hey, I'm here for the people of God. When Moses didn't draw a line and say, are you on my side? No, Moses drew a line and said, if you're on the Lord's side, it's time for some of us to realize that God is in control, always has been in control, will be in control, and he can be in control of our life if we let him. If you're going to invest into anything, invest in a God that is faithful. Don't let your eyes shift towards someone else's bank account. How about someone else's social media post? Our help comes from the Lord. How about this? This is a powerful Bible verse. You ever have somebody give up on you? Have you ever given up on somebody? I'm first to raise my hand for both. I'm trying to be better. You ever give up on somebody? You ever have somebody give up on you? Not a good feeling, right? This is why you ought to put your full attention on the Lord, because he's faithful. Because notice this Bible verse, 1 Thessalonians 5 and 24. The Lord, or faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. He calls those things that are not as though they are. Yeah. He told old man Abraham, you're going to be a father, grandpa. What? Oh, yeah. Years passed by. Abraham tried to do it his way. Didn't work out. We're still dealing with it today because of that. But at the appointed time, Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them. So are you. So let's just praise the Lord for being a faithful God this morning. Faithfulness. Faithfulness. He's faithful. He's faithful. He's faithful. The Lord was lied on. He was beaten. He was condemned. Placed in prison. Then he was crucified. And he was buried in a borrowed tomb. When he told us what was going to happen, he told all of them what was going to happen. It had never happened before. But we know the end of the story, that he rose again on the third day, just like he said he would, victorious over death, hell, and the grave. If God said it, you better believe it. Figure it out somehow or another. Say, well, it's far-fetched, but I got to believe it because the Lord said it and he's faithful. God is not a man that he should. My word don't return unto me void, but it accomplishes that what I sent it out to do. Somebody needs to get a revelation of this again in your spirit, that we serve a God that is faithful. So let me ask you. Let me ask you this question. Are you established or invested in your relationship with the Lord like you are with your hobbies? With your education? With your career? With your extracurricular activities? There's a reason why it's called extracurricular activities, because it's not essential. You know what's essential? Serving God, living for God, having a relationship for God. Your help is not in a secular solution for a spiritual need. The void of loneliness that you've been facing can be filled permanently by a God that loves and has declared in his scripture that I have loved you with an everlasting love. The Lord is faithful. Your spiritual need cannot be fixed. Your spiritual need cannot be met or sustained by a fleshly solution or suggestion. It won't work. Getting high or drunk will not take the problem away. Not going to happen. Some of you have tried that. You're still trying to go down that road, and here you are, 50 years old, still the same song and dance. An illicit relationship and adultery will not take away the loneliness in your heart. More money will not solve your problem. In fact, in most cases, money will only make you more of what you already are. If you're a greedy person now, more money will make you greedier. If you're crazy now, more money will make you crazier. If you're a giver now, more money will make you a... If you can't be trusted now, But if you can be trusted now, the Lord is faithful. The blessings of the Lord, he maketh rich, and he added no sorrow. I would to God we would strive to be faithful. There's anyone you want to talk to? About somebody? Talk to Jesus. God is our refuge, our strength. The psalmist says in Psalm 46 and 1, a very present help in trouble. This joy that we have, the world didn't give it. The world can't take it away. But our joy comes from the Lord. The psalmist declares in Psalm 16 and 11, in thy presence is fullness of joy. That's why we've got to get into the presence of the Lord. And his presence is not confined to the sanctuary at 11 o'clock on Sundays. But his presence. Prayer closet, in your car, on your lunch break, in your office, in between meetings, it's on a ladies' gathering on Friday night, it's at a men's fellowship, it's in a, those of you that are legitimately online because you can't be here, he's in, he'll usher right into your room and your house and your garage right now. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. In our presence is fullness of joy. Some of you, you cry and you got tears coming down your face, not because you're sad, not because you're sorry. You got tears coming down your face because it's joy unspeakable and full of glory because the Lord is faithful. I went to God this morning. We will lift our hands and give God a praise. Because in his presence, there's fullness of joy. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy, Paul writes in Romans 15 and 13, and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Now, if you don't have the Holy Ghost, then you're missing out on a free gift. Amen. It's free. We receive the gifts of the Holy Ghost and we repent of our sins, and God gives us his Spirit that lives and resides in us. And the evidence that we have the Holy Ghost is we speak with other tongues, just as the apostles did, just as Mary did, just like Bishop Keys did, just like many of us did, just like I do. And it's not restrictive to age or religiosity or education or creed, but the Bible says in Acts 2 and 39, for the promises unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And through that, we have what we call the joy of the Holy Ghost. In Nehemiah chapter 8, right around verse 10, it says, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. Titus says that it's the renewing of the Holy Ghost. The scripture says, with joy shall you draw out of the well of salvation. It's time for someone to get your joy back, to get your faith back, to keep it up, because the Lord is faithful. So we can walk in dominion. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. Come on, somebody. Some of you have gotten off track with your dependency, with trusting in the Lord, but the Bible says, trust in the Lord. Amen. With all thy education. Are you sure? Trust in the Lord with science. Trust in the Lord with politicians. Trust in the Lord with your money. With all thine heart. And lean not unto thine own understanding. We got to trust in the Lord. He is faithful. We need him more today than ever before. Psalm 54 and 4 says, behold, God is my helper. There's going to be days and weeks and seasons in your life that it's going to be more of a challenge for you to pray and read your Bible and get to church. But you be faithful with it. Don't quit. Don't give up. Don't take shortcuts. Don't give excuses. Just be faithful with it. There has been an all-time high, more than ever before, to be distracted. Not just from God, but from people. To be isolated from people. We need people. Man, you all look so nice with your smiles on, and some of you with your mask on. You got beautiful eyes. This is unity when we get in here. We're not choosing sides. There's only one side, the Lord's side. The Lord is faithful. Come on, somebody. I know that the world wants dissension and pick sides and argue circumstances and situations and opinions. Now, in this building, in this house, and in this church, there's one team. It's Team Jesus. And we're going to seek first the kingdom. There's one language. It's the Holy Ghost. There's love. There's peace. There's joy. And when we all get to heaven, we're not going to have to worry about this anyway. So what do you say we practice now? The Lord is faithful. The Lord is faithful. And he's going to establish us and keep us from evil. Sister Parra would come this morning. Just Sister Parra. Brother Drummer can come as well. Brother Bautista. God's faithful. They sang a song this morning. All of our life, the Lord has been faithful. Wow. Our entire life been faithful. So awesome. That even when we are not faithful, he abideth faithful. You know, the older we get, the more we can look back and realize the faithfulness of God. When you begin to look at all the days and all the times, when he that knoweth to do good and doeth not good, and it was sin. And now we know the rest of the story, that the Lord was faithful. Faithful to a mama's prayer over a backslidden child. When you and I were trying to pickle our organs, getting in cars and doing things you shouldn't be doing, mama's prayer was covering. Because the Lord is faithful. And young people doing things they shouldn't be doing, but there was a pastor and a bishop and a youth leader that was faithfully praying and saying, deliver them from evil. Build a hedge around them. Come on, somebody. You kept giving up your tithes and offering, and you're going to keep your sacrifice and commitment pledges, and you don't know how you're going to pay it, but you've been faithful, and he's been faithful. And when faithfulness comes together, the Lord will bless it and make it to run over, because we serve a faithful God. He's so faithful. He's so faithful this morning. He's faithful.